opportunity, the blessing, the honor today to recognize a very special young man as he is taking a step into the calling of God on his life. And I love that, love that, love that. Jeff Stanley, come on up, and you're welcome to have some family up here with you, surrounding you.
We love Jeff.
We are so proud of Jeff. And Trace, if you'll run down there and get our certificate, that'd be great.
Jeff's thinking his family doesn't want to come, so I'm just trying to kind of tell you all, you need to come. Okay.
We need you to come up just a little bit. I don't know how they're going to surround you if you're up, but hey, we'll get you up here just a little bit. We want to make sure they can see you, those that are joining us online, and there are several that are joining, and we welcome them, by the way. We're glad you're joining us. I want to kind of give a little bit of frame of reference this morning for this time and this celebration. I've known Jeff now for a number of years, and I have been privileged to watch God working in this young man, shaping and molding and making him into a man of God. And that's exciting to behold, exciting to watch as the Lord just shapes and challenges. And Jeff has been so very receptive to what God has been doing in his life over the last several years. I know we got a whole bunch of family back here. Welcome to the Stanley family. It's just really awesome to have all you guys. And some of you are just, you know, you're kind of thinking like they did about Jesus, right? You know, there were some that said, how could, you know, that's the carpenter's son. You know, I mean, we don't know him as this new man that he is, as this ministry is launched out. And some of you are going, That's Jeff. I remember when he was a kid. Are they talking about the same guy that I remember? And you know what? He's not the same guy. He's a guy that God's been transforming and making. And it's wonderful to see the making of a man of God. Mm-hmm. Think about it in Scripture. There's just so many men he's chosen that he's worked on and little by little honed and created into an instrument for his glory. And Jeff, I want to share some of the Word of God over you as we get ready to pray for you this morning. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy's one of Paul's final books, and he's using 2 Timothy particularly to speak to Timothy and to really charge him with the ministry that God's called him to. And Paul knows in some ways that Timothy's going to be that really strategic key person that he's handing the baton to as Paul's coming to the end of his ministry. And in chapter 3, and I'm not going to read all these verses, I'm going to hit just a couple of highlights. It begins with these words, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. And I don't know about you, but as I look around, I really feel that we're living in perilous times. We're living in last days. We're closer to the return of Christ today than we were yesterday. Amen? And it could well be in our own lifetime that Jesus comes back and rescues his church and reunites with his bride. The word perilous, by the way, it's an interesting word. It means harsh, savage, difficult, dangerous, painful, grievous, hard to deal with. And then listen to this. The word describes a society that is barren of virtue, but abounding with vices. And we're seeing that. Just the world just going in such a direction, in such a way that there doesn't seem to be hope. But let me tell you, there's always hope with the Lord. He's raising up mighty men of God like this man right here to be a witness and to make a difference. And I'm just so proud of Jeff and his answer to the call of God. Paul goes on in chapter 3, he says, Timothy, you've carefully followed the doctrine, the manner of life, the purpose, the faith, the long-suffering, the love, the perseverance, the persecutions, the afflictions. You've followed all these things. And then he turns to the Word of God and how powerful and important the Word of God is. And he says this in verse 16 and 17. All Scripture, Timothy, is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And then he turns to Timothy, looks him in the eye, and he says these words, and I'm saying them to you today, Jeff. I charge you, therefore, Jeff Stanley, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. That's the charge to Timothy. It's the charge to you, Jeff, as you've said yes to God's call in your life. And I'm so proud of you. I'm going to ask, okay, some of you, hopefully everybody will be comfortable with this. Would you all stand for a minute? And if you feel comfortable, just kind of as a sign of faith and connection here, just stretch your hand out toward this dear brother. This is a significant moment that heaven will record, and hopefully you and I will also remember the day when Jeff said yes to the call of God. This is a privilege and an honor. I'm going to anoint him with oil, and we're going to pray over him together as a congregation and believe for God's anointing just to rest on him from this day forward. Jeff, I anoint you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' strong name, Jeff, receive that charge. Receive that call fully with your whole heart today to preach the word, to be instant in season, to be instant out of season, to be the man of God that God has truly prepared you to be and called you to be. Lord, may there be an anointing that rests upon my brother. Lord, may he even find in every opportunity, in every occasion, when he stands to speak your word, that there's an ease to that. That there is an anointing that follows, that there are the blessings of the Lord, the signs of the Lord, the gifts of the Lord that follow, that when he speaks, signs and wonders accompany the word of God, just as the word of God says. Lord, bless him as the man you've called. Continue to guide and direct his steps. Make his path clear. Use his life greatly for your glory, honor, and praise. And we thank you for this man and his willingness to say yes to your call today. In Jesus' strong name, bless our brother. Thank you for this celebration. May he always remember this moment, Lord. Stir up the gifts in him. Fan the fire in his heart. And may he be faithful to your call. In Jesus' strong name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord praise this morning for Jeff. I got to give you a hug, bro. I love you, man. Proud of you. Yes. And I think if I don't fall over here, I think we need to, yeah, let's get together here.
You want me to get up?
Here, Jeff, you hold that.
You want me to come down?
Oh, you're okay.
Okay.
Where's my buddy Craig? There he is. He always makes me look good.
All righty. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Amen. Let's give Jeff another good hand. And family, you should be proud of him. And family, do everything you can to support him. Don't criticize him. You support him. Pray for him. Mm-hmm. Bless him. Okay?
Yeah.
Should be really proud of him. He has... He's responded to God's call, and that's a precious thing. Amen. Well, welcome to New Song. We're going to receive an offering in just a few minutes, but we're not going to pass the buckets. So if you had been in church in a while, we're not really doing that at this point in time. We're doing our offerings through what's called push pay. There will be some buckets at the back, by the way. You can drop an offering in there if you'd like to do that. Let's make sure we have some buckets available, as we always do. But it's real easy, just take less than a minute even to pull that up and be able to give through PushPay. We give our tithes and our tithe to the church, but then we give an offering above and beyond that to meet what we call the Harvest Project, which is supporting our missionaries and our ministries all over the world. And we're a radically generous church that believes in supporting and blessing people all over the world. I just heard this week from Mary Bennett. Point out Mary Bennett, hon. Point precious Mary out. Do you see her over in the yellow, honey?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
She's in the yellow right there. What an amazing woman of God.
She's amazing.
She is. She really is. Has an incredible story.
Yeah.
A book is being written about her life. She is a woman of great faith in eastern Kentucky, in the midst of the Appalachian Mountains, in the midst of some very difficult people to reach. She has loved on and reached many. In fact, she has a children's home there. She's taken in over 100 some kids over the years and discipled them and loved them. She wrote me, all of us, a letter this week and said one of her kids has got cancer. Please pray for him. So they're walking through a little bit of a challenging time there, but she is just amazing in loving and caring and discipling. So she's one of the many. Another one that is a part of our, well, actually, we'll point them out up here, and then we're going to point them out real in person is Cody and Heather. Where's Cody and Heather on here? Did I forget to? No, there they are. Yeah, at the bottom right. Cody and Heather, come on up.
Yeah.
Where are you? Welcome them. They're right here in the house today.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that exciting? Come up on the steps, guys. We want people to see you. Welcome back from Mexico. Share a quick testimony of what God did in Mexico. We're happy to have you guys back.
All right, so coming right off of the heels of doing both very intense and condensed Bible training school, where we've walked through the entire Bible, and in each book, we look at the things that are challenging, we figure out what the author is really meaning for the people in that time, and then we see how it applies to our life, and then we take that and we break it down in a very simple but still holding its truth in a very simple way, and we break that down for others to understand. So like I said, we traveled through the Yucatan Peninsula of Mexico, and one of the very first cities we went to, we were actually the very first foreigners there ever.
Oh, wow.
And so we stayed there for 2 weeks. And with the Bible school, it's a little different because what we do is we partner with churches and we put on a seminar. And people come to us, which is, you know, different from the way a discipleship training school or some of the other schools go, where between opened and closed nations, you could be doing anything from being out in a park, blaring music, doing dramas, giving testimonies, and bringing some preaching to anybody that'll listen, all the way up to building relationship with one single person over several days just to get on the topic of religion and be able to share the gospel with them. So this was very different for us because we had whole congregations coming to us and we're putting on seminars and talking about different topics about God and the Bible. And some of the things that we heard throughout the whole thing was, wow, this is the very first time I've understood the Bible. One of the things was in the Yucatan Peninsula, there's a huge Mayan population. And a lot of people still speak Mayan. So for them, reading a Spanish Bible is often difficult because there would be certain things and words and concepts that they don't understand. So when we were able to come through and break the Bible down in a simple way, a lot of them, it was clicking for them. I've been coming to church for so many years now and still not understanding this about God, or still not understanding this about the Bible. And connections were being made. And I think if I had to sum it up as a whole, you know, I think one of the most awesome parts was being able to put on these seminars and watch people continue to come back day after day and more day after day as they have told their neighbors and other people in the villages. But watching that whole congregation move as a unit towards the Lord and understanding him and his character and understanding these parts of the Bible that were often difficult for them. So, yeah, we got to go through and we ran, how many seminars, Jose? Was it three seminars? We ran four seminars over the four-week period that we were there. And every time we had more and more people showing up throughout that week. More and more people saying that they're understanding different characteristics or aspects of God that they didn't understand or didn't believe to be true.
Wow.
And they did that as a unit, as that's a whole awesome. Church.
That's awesome. Wow, that's great. Give them a good hand. We're so happy to have them back. Heather, we're going to wait till next time and let you share, if that's okay. And we're so happy to have you guys back. So thank you so much for sharing that, Cody. What a great testimony. We're going to pray over our offering here in just a moment and ask the Lord to bless it. Why don't you do that, honey?
Father, we love you so much. Thank you, God, for being with us today. Father, we pray that you bless our tithe and offering. Lord, you would use it to encourage people, to bring people into the kingdom. Father, to encourage this house. Father, I thank you for our families here that give so faithfully, that you would bless them as well. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, this morning we're going to start a brand new series. And by the way, some of you came, you know, we were going to have a big picnic out there today. We were so excited about it. One of the moms told me, one of the young men said this week, "Pastor Jeff, my son is so disappointed for you. You were so excited about that picnic. He's so disappointed you're not getting to have the picnic." Listen, I still get to be with you guys, which is going to be wonderful, and we get to silver lining in the room rather than out in that 91 degree heat, right? Okay, so there's a silver lining, right? So please stay, enjoy some good food. Pastor Bert, I think, is over there grilling away, and we're going to have hamburgers, hot dogs, all the good stuff you guys have brought, and it's going to be just a wonderful picnic in the family room today. So hang around afterwards. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray right now that the Word of God, which is described in the Word of God as living and active, that it will reach down into our hearts and bring true change today. Lord, anoint my words. Speak through me. Give me the words you want me to speak. Let every heart be open and receptive in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to start a new series today, and I'm really excited about it. And I'm calling it Following Jesus. And this will be part one today, and we're going to continue it for several weeks. And I think it is so timely and so important, because as I look at the world today, especially the United States of America, I can't think of anything that is more needed or more necessary than true, passionate, wholehearted followers of Christ. And I want to kind of bring some definition to that, because as I'll describe in a little bit, I think what a Christian is in many ways has been hijacked. So we're going to explore the lifestyle. We're going to explore the spiritual disciplines of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're going to see together if there are some ways that we need to perhaps adjust our lives and our lifestyle to fit his example. So I hope you'll join me over these next several weeks. I think for some, this could bring about maybe salvation. For some, perhaps a recommitment. For some, perhaps the first time you've ever really submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, truly being Lord of your life. I believe this is going to be life-changing for many. I'm convinced. I am absolutely convinced that there is confusion in our world today, especially in the United States of America, over what it means to be a Christ follower and how one should live if one describes themselves as a Christian. There's a lot of confusion. I've been preaching and in the ministry and living for the Lord over 30 years, and I've certainly made my mistakes along the way and grown and still have room to grow. But I my heart is passionate about being a true and devoted, wholehearted follower of Christ. So let me start with this morning, and let me kind of give you a couple of thoughts on what a Christ follower is not. Maybe if we start there and kind of eliminate some things that perhaps we've thought of when we think of the word Christian. Because again, I want to say to you, I think that word's been hijacked. So here's what a Christ follower is not. All right, first of all, a Christ follower is not someone born in America and raised in a religious home. Though there's a lot of people that just kind of grab hold of the coattails of mom and dad and say, "Well, I guess I'm a Christian because mom and dad were Christians, and I was raised in a quote-unquote Christian home, so I guess I'm a Christian." And I've said the funny little thing a few times along the way, you know, Being born in the garage doesn't make you a car. You know? Being born at McDonald's doesn't make you a hamburger. So, you know what? Just because you were born into a Christian family does not make you a Christian. Absolutely doesn't. Also, a Christ follower is not necessarily someone who said a prayer. Okay, repeat after me and, you know, said the prayer, was baptized, and maybe even agrees with Jesus' teaching. Now, that could be a little bit controversial, but, you know, there's a lot of folks that quite honestly went through some kind of protocol that a church was advocating, but really there was no life change. Really, there was no evidence that they had truly submitted their life to Jesus. Yes, they went through all the stuff. They did what they were asked. They walked the aisle. They signed the card. They said the prayer. They showed up and got wet. But are they a Christian? Is there fruit to bear out that decision? And lastly, a Christ follower is not someone who just goes to church regularly. Well, I go to church regularly. That doesn't make you a Christ follower. So I want to take you back to the beginning, to the first time the word Christian was used in the Bible. And it was used to follow or to describe, obviously, people who were followers of Christ. It goes all the way back to the town of Antioch, the city of Antioch. Antioch is in what today is the nation of Syria. Antioch was about 300 miles north of Jerusalem, about 30 miles inland from the Mediterranean Sea. It was a powerhouse of a city. It was strong, it was wealthy, and it was on par, if you will, even with cities like Rome and Alexandria. Rome, Alexandria, and Antioch, all powerful, wealthy, and very sinful cities, to be quite honest, in their day and time. And this is about 12 years after Jesus had ascended, okay? He's gone to the cross, he's appeared to his disciples and followers, and now he's ascended into heaven. It's about 12 years. He's given the Great Commission mandate to everyone, and finally the believers in Jesus have gone into all the world. They're preaching the gospel, and some have landed in Antioch, been faithful to preach God's word, establish a church. There's many conversions that happen there in this city. There's leadership that's needed, of course, for a new church that's been birthed. So Paul himself, the Apostle Paul, comes. He arrives. He reinforces the teachings that have been going on there. Stays about a year. There's more conversions. You might say there's an awakening that's happened in the city of Antioch. And that takes us to this scripture, Acts chapter 11, verse 26. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Why don't you read that with me? Let's all read it together. Ready? And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So this is where the name is birthed. Up until this point, you got to get this in your mind, okay? Up until this point, nobody used the word Christian. Christians didn't call themselves Christians. You know, one believer, you look at another and say, hey, are you a Christian? No, the term wasn't used. The world, by the way, and this is hugely important, it's the world. It's the surrounding people who are watching and noticing the incredible difference in these people that coined the term Christian. The term doesn't come from within the church. It doesn't come from within the body of Christ. It doesn't come from other Christians. It comes from unbelievers, pagan people who are watching a transformed body of people live out a very different reality. This is hugely important. And this phrase, Acts 11, 26, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch, it's jam-packed with nuggets of truth. Let me break it down for you just real quick. The word called, okay, this is an important word. It literally means, it would literally be used in conjunction with, what kind of business are you in? What is your life about? What are you focused on? What kind of business are you in? It was used to describe who you're in relationship with, the way you live out your life. A couple of examples from that time frame would be those who followed Caesar were called Caesareans. Caesareans. There was even a geographical place where many followers of Caesar, Caesarea, and those who followed the teachings of the philosopher Plato were called Platonians. And now I want you to get a hold of this. Those that followed Christ, the world around them, those who were watching them, those who witnessed the transformation and change, called those who followed Christ Christians. Those are the Christians because they were noticeably about Jesus' business. They look at them and they'd say, why aren't you like everybody else? Why are you not striving after power, after position? Why do you not strive to be wealthy and influential like everybody else? Why are you so self-sacrificing? Why are you so willing to lay your very life down? Why are you so different? Why do you not worship all the gods? Because we're Christ followers. Oh, you're a Christian. From the very beginning, believers who follow Jesus were called Christians by the world around them because they watched their lives and there was a powerful transformation that had occurred. Now let's fast forward. Okay, let's fast forward real quick. 2,000 years later, we find that a lot of people call themselves Christians with little to no evidence that they are actually following Christ. In fact, in all honesty, nobody would even know they were a Christian if they didn't tell others that they were a Christian. Because we quit following Jesus, but we kept the name of those who did. Many people quit following him, didn't have the transformation, didn't live a different life, but they kept the name of those who did. Let me just tell you, it's time to start following Jesus with our whole heart, with our passion and devotion, just like the early Christians that the world saw the transformation, the change, the difference in them. Let me give you a definition of a follower of Jesus this morning. And it's basically this. It's one sentence, but there are four points. To be on the same road with Jesus. It means literally you're walking after him. You're yoked together with him. You're on the same road. You're not on a different road. You're not going in a different direction. And not only that, you're learning from him. Not learning, by the way, for just simply head knowledge. That seems to be a big thing in so many of our churches in America. We just cram our heads full of more and more and more knowledge. We go to Bible study after Bible study after Bible study until we can practically quote so much of the Bible to you. But we're not living it out. It's not about head knowledge, folks. These Christians were looking to learn so they could be like him. So they could look like him, so they could mirror him to the world, so that people would look at them and say, oh man, I know who you are. You're a follower of Christ because I see Christ-like qualities. I see Christ-like character. I see Jesus in and through you. So they're on the same road with him. They're learning from him so that they can imitate him, so that the world can recognize him. And not only that, so that they can multiply his life in others. So that Jesus and his life and his message gets multiplied to person after person after person. And that's how the church has grown throughout history. True, dedicated, wholehearted followers of Christ have in turn shared and loved and lived out the faith in such a way that others came to the faith in Christ and became Christ followers. So this morning, it leads me to a couple of questions I want to ask you at this point in the message. I want you just to ask this in your own heart. Just be sincere, be authentic. Am I learning from Jesus? Am I learning something more than just head knowledge? Am I learning how to really follow him? Am I learning the cost? Am I learning how to imitate him so that others can see him more readily in me? And am I pouring into others? Let me just say right here this morning that if that's not happening in you and in your life, then probably some adjustments need to be made. Let me tell you about following Jesus. Following Jesus is where the adventure is. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 20, there's some really interesting words. Jesus says to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Let me tell you, that's exciting right there, isn't it, Cody and Heather? Isn't it Jose and Marissa? Isn't it Neil and Juanita? By the way, Jose and Marissa, shout out, congratulations, that little boy that's on the way. Isn't that exciting? Give them a good hand. They've got a baby boy on the way. We're excited. It's a very fruitful trip. Amen. It's where the adventure is. Some of the most adventurous, exciting times I've ever had in my life is when I was overseas somewhere for the purpose of preaching the gospel, and I'm honored to have been able to do that many, many times, over 60 times in my life. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. All right, you don't follow after signs. Really key, did you see that? These signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. And some of you here going, oh my, I'm in Kentucky for the first time. Is Pastor Jeff going to pull out the serpents? Don't worry about that today. That's next week, okay? But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means harm them. They'll lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out. They preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them in confirming the word through the accompanying signs. There's the signs following them, them not following the signs, them just being obedient. Okay, I'm a Christ follower. I'm going to go do what Jesus told me to go do. So I got to tell you this morning, if there's no adventure and no excitement in your Christianity, you're probably not following Jesus, to be honest. Are you on a great adventure? Remember, you don't have to follow signs. Signs will follow you as you're just simply obedient. John Wimber, sometime back, he's one of my heroes of the faith. He talked to his people as God was blessing and building the Vineyard Church. He said, you know, when do we get to do the stuff? When do we get to do the stuff? He was talking about this stuff right here. And they even had t-shirts in their early days of the Vineyard, doing the stuff, you know, and just stepping out in bold faith, praying for people. And listen, I want to give you a challenge today. If you're hearing me and you're saying, you know what, I might need to make some adjustments and I really do want to be a Christ follower, here's the challenge I'm throwing out to you today. Okay, it can be over this next week or maybe if you need a little more time over this next month. But here's what I want you to do. And by the way, did everybody get that handout? Everybody got the handout with the notes today? Yes, okay. If you didn't get that handout, raise your hand. One of our ushers will serve you. There are some that didn't get it. Over the next month, here's what I want you to do. Find a total stranger and pray for them. Do exactly what the scripture said. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. It's talking about just you and I being willing to pray over people, willing to let God use us as a conduit of his power, his peace, his presence, that others might experience him. Who probably, if you've never experienced God flowing through you to someone who probably doesn't even know the Lord, it's pretty exciting. God's really into showing up in those type of scenarios. You're going, how do I do this, Pastor Jeff? Here's one simple way, and there's lots of them. But, you know, when you go out to eat, as that waitress comes and delivers your food, you know, you can just say right there in that moment, hey, listen, my family and I are getting ready to pray. How can we pray for you? And you can just, and listen, they'll listen to you because they're hoping for a good tip. You know what I'm saying? You kind of got a captive audience right there. You can let God do something in that moment. Lots of other ways too, but that's your challenge. Listen, following Jesus is where the reward is. Then Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left all and followed you, Jesus." So Jesus answered and said, listen to these words. If you're a Christ follower, they count for you too, right? Assuredly, I say to you, there's no one who's left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. He might have whispered that part. I don't know. I mean, you know, kind of threw that in there at the very end. With persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. Eternal life. Jesus is saying, you know what? You do what I've called you to do. You set your heart about being my follower. I'll bless you 100-fold in your adventure with persecutions. And I got to tell you, the day and time we're living in, you can expect some persecutions along the way. If you are a faithful Christ follower, that's just going to come. Some people are going to heckle you. Some people are going to ridicule you. But you know what? Being a Christ follower is seeing what really matters to God and putting our whole heart to it. Sometimes we get distracted by stuff that quite honestly doesn't really matter. And we're like experts at it here in the United States of America. We have so many distractions, so many entertainments. We need to be careful and maybe making an adjustment. Listen, the white harvest fields that Jesus spoke about in John 4 long ago are still the affirmation, the reward, and the joy is. And some of it's going to come in eternity later on. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he had received 5 talents. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents. Say, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done. This is where this saying comes from. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I'll make you rule over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Listen, truly following Jesus is where it's at in this life. And it's where it's at in the life to come. If you don't use this one wild and dangerous and reckless life you've been given to bring glory to God, even if you've received him as Lord and you make your way into heaven, you're gonna probably go, wow, I should have done more. I should have been more about following him. I should have. Because there's gonna be a day of judgment for what we've done with our lives. The Bible says for some it'll be gold, silver, and precious jewels. And for others, it's going to be wood, hay, and stubble. In other words, a wasted opportunity, a wasted life. Well done, good, faithful servant. Those are words for me that I long, long, long to hear. I guess I would even ask you this morning, I wonder, when was the last time that you sensed in your heart the Father saying to you, well done, son. Well done, daughter. You just done something out of your heart to bless someone else. Sacrificial, giving, loving, stepping out. And you just sense that from the Lord. Well done. When was the last time? If you haven't heard that in a while, you might need to adjust your life. Francis Chan says this, and I think it's so true, that in America, we have become addicted to convicting sermons with very little change or action following. We love to hear somebody get up and preach with passion the convicting word of God, but then we walk out the doors and we live the same old way. I'm really hoping and praying through this series that's not what happens. that you and I walk out the doors, adjust our lives. We become true, wholehearted, devoted Christ followers who the world so desperately needs. They need to see Jesus and they need to see him through you. Following Jesus is where it's at in this life and in the life to come, folks. Adventure, affirmation, reward comes from that. Eternal reward even. Jesus, by the way, his constant invitation throughout his ministry was those two simple words, follow me. Follow me. This is hugely important, folks. All four of the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, record his many invitations to follow him. It's to different people in different situations, but it's the same invitation, follow me. And listen, to the excuse makers, Jesus says in Matthew 8, then another of his disciples, listen, look at the word disciple. This is someone who wanted to follow Jesus, right? But there's an excuse that pops up. Lord, let me first go and bury my father. But Jesus says to him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. Do you know what this means? Do you know the cultural implications of this? This is basically this man saying, you know what? I want to wait around until my father passes away. Yes, I know he's only in his 50s and he doesn't have any apparent sicknesses and it could be a really long while, but I want to get that inheritance. I want the safety and the security that's going to come from knowing as his oldest son that I've received that inheritance that he's built up for me, that he'll pass on to me, all the land that he's accrued, all the security, the blessings. And Jesus is saying, no, no. This is urgent. Now's your chance and your opportunity. Follow me. Follow me. Are we making excuses and following Jesus? To the stuff lovers, that's a deep theological term for those that are materialistic in nature, stuff lovers. Jesus says this. To the rich young ruler, he comes to Jesus. What do I have to do to inherit eternal life? Jesus walks him through the commandments. And with a sort of puffed up arrogance, the rich young ruler says to Jesus, I've done all those things since I was a young person. By the way, I just got to tell you, don't say that to Jesus, because self-righteousness and Jesus don't mix well. Jesus replies in Matthew 19, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had many great possessions. Can I just say this about the rich young ruler? He didn't just have possessions. His possessions had him. And listen, anytime there's a false sense of security that you and I are clinging to in this life, Jesus is going to ask us to give it up. Because he wants to be your full security. He wants to be the one you rely on, that you believe in, that you trust for your future and for your needs and for everything. He wants to be Lord of your life. Jesus invited his disciples publicly. He invited them repeatedly. Follow me. Follow me. In fact, Peter, who we often find is kind of the one who steps to the forefront of the disciples, Jesus invited him to follow him at least four times. Follow me, Peter. It starts in Matthew chapter 4 when his brother Andrew brings him to Jesus. Jesus says, follow me. I'll make you a fisher of men. And then in John 13, there's this dialogue between Jesus and Peter. Jesus is saying, you're God of this. I'll restore you. Follow me. And then in John chapter 21, most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, Peter, you girded yourself, you walked where you wished, but when you're old, you're going to stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death Peter would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to Peter, read those words with me, follow me. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following. This is probably John, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper. It's at the Last Supper, and said, Lord, who is this one who betrays you? Peter, seeing, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, hey, don't worry about him. Don't worry about somebody else. This isn't about somebody else. The Lord's speaking to you and I today, to each of us individually, personally. Sometimes it's easy for us to shift the focus off our own selves, our own hearts. But Jesus wants to make sure that we're hearing his invitation, we're hearing his call. Jesus says to him, if I will that he remains till I come, what is that to you? Read these words with me. You follow me. I don't know if you've noticed it, but there's a pattern here that develops, and you can see it just from Peter's life. If you focus just on Peter, Peter ends up following him, by the way, into martyrdom. Church history records that Peter went to the cross and requested specifically to be hung upside down on the cross because he didn't feel worthy to die in the same manner as his Lord. There's a pattern. Jesus invites us to follow him at the beginning of our relationship with him. Follow me. Then along the way, he comes and gently reminds us again, follow me. And then, toward the end, he reinforces it once again. Follow me. Follow me. Why is that? Why is that, you ask? Well, I tell you why. It's so easy to drift. It's so easy to kind of take the off-ramp of religion from the road of following Jesus. It's so easy to begin to settle ever so slightly for dead cultural Christianity over the life-giving following of Jesus. It happens slowly. We start drifting, and before we know it, we're on that off-ramp of indifference, of lukewarm, dead faith that's producing no fruit whatsoever for the kingdom of God. No adventure, no reward, no affirmation in our lives. We can change that today. I was driving yesterday to the big picnic over at the Stanleys, and I was getting off of the highway, and I veered a little too far to the right. And guess what happened? I hit those. Anybody ever hit the rumble strips? And it was this perfect sign that I needed to adjust and get back over into the correct lane. Maybe that's where you're at today, and life probably isn't going very well for you if you're on the rumble strips. Are you learning from Jesus so you can be more like him? Are you imitating him to the world around you so that they can see and experience Jesus? And then are you pouring him in to others so Jesus' influence and Jesus' message can multiply in this world today? If not, you might need to adjust. Lastly, this is my last scripture today, Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 and 25, Jesus says to his disciples, all right, this isn't to the world, this is to the disciples, this is to me and you. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. There's four things here that I want to close on. Desire to come after me. I mean, that kind of sounds cool, doesn't it? Our sins are forgiven. We're choosing heaven over hell. We desire to come after Jesus. But in order to do that truly, we've got to do the second thing, and that's deny ourselves. And quite honestly, our culture's not built around denial. Our culture is built around having it all, experiencing it all, wanting it all. Jesus says, deny yourself, deny selfish wants, deny demands of being served and not serving. Deny the comfort, deny the ease, deny the indulgence. Stop demanding your own way. Jesus says, saving your life is actually losing it. But losing your life is actually finding it. He says, lay down your life for the King. Some things, listen, that won't be so hard on you, right? But for some things, it's going to be very hard. And then he says, deny yourself and take up the cross. And this is even a step beyond just denying ourselves, right? This is dying to ourselves. Losing, remember, is finding in the kingdom. This is crucifying your flesh. We are, in a sense, according to the Bible, the living dead, crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who is to live in and through me. You'll find life in Him when you lay your life down for Him. If we don't deny and we don't die, then you know what? We are trying to save our lives. But if we lose it for Him, watch and see if you don't truly find life itself, adventure, affirmation, reward from none other than God Himself. And then lastly, he says, follow me. Once you have desired to come after me and you have denied yourself and you have taken up your cross, now follow me. Be my example. Live my life. Do my spiritual disciplines. Be about my business. Learn from me daily. Learn from me so you might be like me. You might be able to imitate me. You might be my hands and my feet in this world. Multiply me in others. Be a Christian, not by label, but by lifestyle, by action, so that others can see and go, wow, he's really a Christian. She's really a Christian. I don't know about you, but I just in even bringing this word today, I recognize some need in my life, my whole heart, giving him my all. For some of us today, it might be blatantly obvious. For others, it might be kind of subtle. But maybe we need to make an adjustment. Maybe there are some of us today who say, you know, I desire Jesus. I do. I desire him. I want to come after him, but I don't know about the deny myself part. And others might say, "I, if I'm honest, I'm not dying to myself. I mean, in all honesty, I've kind of been saving my life. I've been holding on too tightly." Some might say, I'm learning, but I'm not imitating and I'm certainly not multiplying by entrusting others. I want us to pray today as we end. I want us to pray for ourselves. I want us to pray for this church. I want us to pray for every church here in the city of Louisville and all across our nation. Let's follow Jesus into a new season that he has for us. There's nothing, as I said in the beginning, more important or more needed than true, wholehearted, passionate followers of Jesus, alive and well, doing the work of God, doing this stuff in the United States of America and around this world. I know this, I followed Jesus for 40 years and I will not regret following him for the rest of my life, and I want to do it wholeheartedly. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment, please? And let's just let the Holy Spirit speak to us for a moment. Holy Spirit can speak to you through that still, small voice right in your heart of hearts. Just listen to what he's saying right now. Lord, I pray right now for each and every one of us that wherever we are at, that we will respond accordingly. There's some of us here who haven't trusted Jesus as Lord of their lives. You can do that right now by just praying a very simple prayer, just like this. Jesus, I need you. I've failed. I've sinned. Forgive me of my sins. Become my Lord, my Savior. Teach me how to live for you. Just pray something simple like, really live out this life for him. For others, it's It's a recommitment. You've drifted. You've gotten off that off-ramp somewhere along the way, and you just need to say, Jesus, I want to come back with my whole heart. I really do. Forgive me. I've gotten distracted. For others, it's an adjustment. You just need to say, Lord, I've kind of gotten some things, some priorities out of whack. I need to get back to following you with my whole heart. Help me. Lord, I pray right now you just speak to all of us that we might be a church full of true, wholehearted Christ followers, and we might make a difference for your glory, for your honor, for your praise in this city and around the world. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Amen. Can you give the Lord praise this morning? Was that a good word? I want to invite you back, and for those that are from out of town, join us online. And as we continue to look at the incredible life of Jesus and learn what it means to truly be his follower.